Well, good morning. I'm sorry that I can't be with you face to face this morning, but I'm glad to be able to bring God's Word to you. If you are new to Faith Presbyterian Church, my name is Grant Carroll. I'm the associate pastor at the church, and we typically meet each Sunday from at 9:30, and we've been meeting in the Commons, which is our gym, just adjacent to our sanctuary. But because of some COVID cases in our church, we've decided to forego meeting this Sunday. But again, we are gathered virtually here to worship our Lord and Savior in spirit and truth. Before I pray and read God's Word, I want to thank Justin Williams for his arrangement and performance of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel as our meditation for worship. We appreciate you doing that, Justin. In addition to praying for the preaching of the Word, I'm also going to take time to pray for some folks in our church. The bulletin is there as a link on the website and also has been emailed to you. If you want to look at that, we have a number of people to pray for. And so please look at that, open that PDF, check that out, and join me now as we pray for our time together in the Word and pray for those who need help, who need relief, who need healing. So let's go to our God in prayer. Gracious God, I thank you for Faith Presbyterian Church. I thank you that you have brought us together as a community, that you have brought us together to be your body, and that you have linked us together through your love, through being united to you. And Lord, thank you for each person that's a part of our church, members and visitors alike. I thank you for them. We miss one another when we can't be together, but I pray that to ensure the health, our mutual health, that you will continue to bless us and keep us. We pray that you would use Faith Presbyterian Church to bring about your kingdom in us and in the lives of those around us. We pray that you would use us to be your hands, your feet, to profess the good news of who you are, especially at this time, this Christmas time, that you would make opportunities for us to share the gospel, to serve our neighbor, to serve and to share the gospel with our own family. Lord, equip us for this and create opportunities for this and speak through us by your Spirit, we pray. We pray for those struggling with COVID right now who are enduring this and recovering from this illness. We pray for Brian Tothero. We pray that you would just bring healing to his body. We pray for Jack and Sheila. We pray for Pam Putnam, Camille's aunt. And Lord, she is not doing well, but we pray that you would draw near to her and bring healing to her body, draw near to her husband Joe, and bless them and keep them. We pray that you would be with Miss Alice Walker. We thank you for Alice. We thank you that she has... that you have blessed her with good medical care, and that she will be able to take medication to treat this leukemia. We pray that you would be with her as she does that. We pray that you would bring healing to her body, that you would encourage her, and that, and again, just sustain them through this difficult time. Lord, we pray for Miss Judy Lehman, and we pray that she would, you would help her to endure now that her surgery has been delayed. Just give her good days, Lord, as she deals with back pain. Help her to endure until February when she can receive this surgery. Lord, we pray for Jesse. We thank you for the good news that he will not need surgery on his wrist. And we pray that he would continue to recover. Lord, continue to provide him for and keep his family, we pray. We pray for Billy Hackney. We pray for this friend of Miss Wilma, and we pray that you would bring healing and that you would help them to overcome this cancer in their bodies, Lord. I pray that you would just help this friend of Miss Ford and be with them and comfort them. Lord, There are many, many needs and many hurts, and we look to you for help. We look to you for hope in the midst of the struggle, and we thank you that you are with us in all these things. Be with us now as we open your word, as we consider a very familiar passage. Help us to see it and to understand it anew. Help us to be encouraged at the gift of your love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, our scripture is one we all know. It's probably the first verse you've ever memorized. It is John 3:16. And this is the theme verse for our third Sunday at Advent. I'm sorry we won't be together to light the candle with the children, but it's the candle, the love candle. And the verse that goes with it is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Have you ever noticed that the most important and fundamental aspects of our existence take up the least amount of our thought? Think about it. How much of your day do you spend thinking about the sun? If the sun were not there, life could not exist. What about oxygen? Without it, we cannot breathe. It's because these things are so important and fundamental that we typically do not dwell on them. They're just a part of life. They're so familiar that they fade into the background. John 3:16, the verse I just read, is quite familiar to us, isn't it? It's probably, as I said, the first verse you ever memorized. This verse is so important and fundamental to the Christian, because in this verse we see the foundation of the gospel, the love of God. We must not let the truths of this passage fade into the backgrounds of our lives. We must remember, cherish it, and live by it. There are four things I want us to see in this one verse, four aspects of love. I want you to see first the source of love. Secondly, the object of love. Thirdly, the gift of love. And then finally, the security of love. The source, the object, the gift, and then the security of God's love. First, the source of love. The relationship between God and man is not initiated by man. Some in the church teach that it's up to a person to accept and choose and trust in and love God first, that he offers himself, but you have to take him. You have to pursue him. You have to accept him. But here's the thing. The person that initiates this loving relationship is not you. It's not me. If you are saved, if you are a Christian, this verse shows us that love begins with God. We see that in 1 John 4:19. And this is love, not that we first love God, but he first loved us. We have the ability to love God because he initiated this loving relationship. And we see this through the scriptures. In the beginning, it was the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Out of the abundance of mutual love between one another, it's out of this love that they made all things. And that they made man, they made Adam specifically. They formed them. He formed him out of the ground and breathed life into him. It's in love that God made, created. It's love that that caused him to pursue a people for himself, to keep his covenant promises. It was not Abram that loved God first. Abram was from a family of idolaters, of pagans. Abram didn't love God first. God loved him and pursued him and made promises to him to be faithful to him. And we see this throughout the scripture. Israel does not deserve God's love. They don't pursue God. He pursues them. And the source of love is God himself. That's the first thing I want you to see. God is love because He has always been love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's out of the abundance of that love that He creates us and that He also pursues us. He redeems us. He loves us first. The source of love is God. Don't ever forget that. The second thing is I want you to see in this text is the object of love. God so loved the world. We are the object of God's love. The fallen yet chosen people of God. We who were His enemies are loved by Him. Romans 5, 8 through 10 says, "But God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we now have been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life." He doesn't love us because we can offer Him something. God needs nothing from us. All we can bring Him is need. All we can bring Him is want. He loves us unconditionally. We did not merit His favor. We actually demerit His favor, but He still loves me. He still loves you. And just as application, this is how we are to love. This is what real agape love is. This is what hesed, loving kindness, covenant faithfulness is. We are to love selflessly without expecting anything in return. Love, in its pure form, godly love, is not about what you can get for yourself. It's not tit for tat. It's not an exchange. It's giving yourself to another for their good and their benefit. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5 says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It's other-centered. It's giving. It's sacrificial." And we are the recipients. We are the objects of this beautiful love of God. The verse says that God loves the world. But what does that mean? For clarification, we must look to John 4, verse 42, where Jesus is called Savior of the world. Hear this from John 4, 42. "They said to the woman, 'It is no longer,'" this is the woman at the well who goes and shares that she has shares with everybody in town that she's met a man who knows everything she ever did. "Can this be the Christ?" And so she goes with that testimony. And in verse 42 of chapter 4, it says, "They say to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, but we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world.'" Now, does that mean that God saves everyone in the world? Is that speaking of a universalism, that all people will eventually be saved through Jesus? But if you look just a few verses down from John 3:16, you realize that's not the case. Let me just read. It says, verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in Him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." So as we look at John 3:16, this is not teaching universalism. This isn't teaching that everyone, regardless of what they believe about Jesus, will be saved. There will be those who stand condemned, those who reject Christ. However, those who believe in Christ will be, according to Revelation 7:9, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. The emphasis here in John 3:16 is not that everyone, regardless of what they believe, will be saved, but people from all over the world, people from every nation, tribe, people, and language will be saved. People from every tribe, people, and nation, their names are written in the book of life. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verses 25 through 30, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. There will be this gift of salvation, this love of God. We, as His chosen elect, are the recipients of it. We, who are not only from Israel, but from every nation, we are all counted as children of Abraham. And we who have been chosen by God, who have been given to the Son, no one will ever snatch us out of His hand. This is the good news for you and for me. You and I, if you trust in Jesus, are objects of His perfect, eternal love. The source of love is God. The object of love is His people, you and me. Thirdly, the gift of love. How do you know someone loves you? How do you know that it's real, that it's lasting? How do you know that they mean the words, "I love you"? Well, they show it, don't they? They demonstrate it. There's gifts involved. There's lavishing gifts and service upon you to show you that they really mean what they say. There has to be a demonstration for it to be seen as legitimate. And again, not to get too basic here, but it never hurts to get back to the basics, does it? Again, we're in John 3:16. How do we know this great love of God? We'll go back to the verse. God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. God has shown His love to His people in many ways over the years. Israel's deliverance from Egypt. He fed them in the desert. He delivered Israel from their enemies through the judges. He establishes them a nation. He provides a king in King David. He brings them back out of exile. He remains faithful to keep His promises throughout the generations. But the ultimate expression of His love is the sacrifice of His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ on the cross is a picture, the ultimate picture, of extraordinary, unfathomable love. This is not, though, the normal way we express love for one another, is it? Why was delivering the Son over to death such a loving act for us? Some people that are critical to Christianity talk about the crucifixion as cosmic child abuse. Why did the Son have to die? Why would a loving God sacrifice one He loves so much? To appreciate God's gift of love, we must understand how much it cost Him and why the cost had to be paid. We must look to the reality of sin and to the justice of God and realize that in His justness, in His righteousness, sin had to be dealt with. It had to be paid for. Because of our sins, before a holy, just God, we stood condemned. God hates sin and must deal with it. John 12:48, it says, "The one who rejects me," the words of Jesus here, "the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." Sin, rebellion against the God of the universe, deserves condemnation. It deserves rejection. Jesus' death is the ultimate expression of love because he came to be our atoning sacrifice, our propitiation, so that we can be reconciled with God. 1 John 4:10 says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." He didn't just die as an example. He didn't just die to save a few people of that generation. He died to save all God's people, because on the cross, he absorbed. That's what it means to be a propitiation, a sacrifice that turns away wrath. And he can turn away the wrath of God, the punishment of God, because Jesus absorbed it all. He paid it all for every sin I've ever committed. In thought, word, and deed, Jesus bore the penalty for me. Jesus has borne the penalty for you if you trust in him. This is such a costly gift. It cost Jesus his life. It cost Jesus this perfect loving relationship that he's had with the Father for all of eternity. In that one moment, those hours on the cross, he was separated from his Father, and the Father was separated from his Son, and the Son, which he had loved from all of eternity, from before time began, became an object of his wrath. Can you imagine the pain? Imagine the hurt. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. The source of love is God. He initiates this loving relationship. The object of love is you and me, God's chosen people. The gift is Jesus himself. And then finally, I want us to consider the security of love. Because Jesus has taken the punishment that we deserve, because he has been righteous in our stead, and that he has given us the gift of faith, we never, ever, ever have to fear his displeasure. You and I are securely kept in the hand of God, in the arms of God, in his loving embrace. Nothing can undo that. Nothing. Instead of his displeasure, we are reconciled to him. Instead of wrath, instead of being found guilty, we have been justified. We receive the imputed righteousness of Christ. And we're also made sons and daughters of God. We've been adopted. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. See this love. You have been found innocent. You're justified. You're not guilty in his sight. You're acceptable to him. You've been brought into his family. You who are listening now, you are a son of God, a daughter of God. You are his children, and he would do anything for you. You're justified, you're adopted, and you're being prayed for. Jesus is now seated on the right hand of the throne of God, and he is continually interceding for us as our great high priest. It's not as though that Jesus ceases to be our Savior, ceases to be involved in our lives. But yes, he has died for us. He has rose again. And he is right now thinking about you. That the Father hears the prayers of his Son for you. You're secure in your justification. You're secure as an adopted child of God. You're secure in his intercession for you. And you are being sanctified, being made into the image of Christ day by day, because God is at work in your life. The Spirit is working, changing you, showing you the depth of your sin, showing you the love of God through trials and tribulations. His faithfulness is made more apparent. His light and love becomes in more a clear focus the more we enter into the darkness and the valley. We know his presence. We know his love. You're being sanctified in his love. And then finally, as the verse ends, it says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Death will come, but death has lost its sting. Death is a reality in this fallen world. But because Jesus has entered into new life, because Jesus rose again from the dead, we too, with Christ, will have life everlasting in his kingdom, in the new heavens, the new earth, forever and ever. Again, the theme has been, I've been looking at 1 John and the Gospel of John as we're looking at John 3:16. But here's another one, 1 John 3:2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. There is security, real security. And I tell you, you know, the thing that I have struggled to feel the most in this year, 2020, has been security. All the things, all the things I'm used to doing, all the things that has given my life routine, have all been shaken up, have all been taken away at different points of the last 10 months. And I realize how easy it is for me to find security and comfort in futile, vain things. But let me tell you, because John 3:16 is true, because God first loved us, because he loved you and me, though we didn't deserve it, he loves us. And because we have this gift of love in Jesus Christ, we are eternally secure. The great, powerful love of God is real. Jesus came. Jesus lived the life we couldn't live. Jesus died the death and suffered the hell that we deserve. So that now nothing can ever separate us from his love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God did not have to save you and me. He wanted to. Why? Because he loves us. Nothing constrained him to do that. Nothing forced him to do it. He simply is loving. And he made us to be objects of his love. As you think about Christmas this year, and boys and girls, if you're listening, I hope you are, as you're thinking about Christmas and anticipating Christmas morning and opening those presents and rejoicing in the gift, please remember, whether you're opening gifts or watching children open the gifts, remember the ultimate gift of love. The gift motivated by love for those he loved. The gift that is itself love. Remember, as you open presents Christmas morning, that you have received an even better gift. You have received the Son himself. And he gave himself to you. And the Father gave his Son for you because he perfectly, forever loves you. You are secure in his love. You're secure because he came. We know this love is real. We know it's genuine and enduring because the Father gave his Son for you and for me. Let's pray. Gracious God, I pray that this familiar verse, that we would think of it and meditate upon it this week, that it would not just be something that we just rattle off, but we would see all these things, the deep truths, the glorious truths of the good news of you, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to remember what this time of year is about, and help us to remember that we are loved and we are secure in that love, no matter what. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you for listening in, and we're praying for you while we are apart. If you have any prayer needs, anything we could do for you, anything we can be praying for, just let us know. Give us a call, email us. With that said, let me now give you the benediction. Receive now God's benediction, His blessing. May the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For He who calls you is faithful, and He will surely do it. Amen.